there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today is Monday. It is the 23rd of July, 2018. Monday is my favorite day of the week. We have an enormous week packed up for us here at SVK Crypto. Tuesday, we're going to be speaking at an event held by the Crypto Investor Show. Patrick Dooley is going to be throwing that. The details for that are on our Telegram, which if you haven't joined already, if you type in SVK space crowd, you will find all the information required. But let me just bring you up to speed on this, because this is going to be a kick-ass event. And I think it's going to be one of the coolest events happening this week in the city of London. It's called CIS London Crypto Nights. Happens on the 24th of July. We're going to have some special guest speakers. James Howells, one of the first Bitcoin miners. Josh Reddit from the Easy Crypto Hunter. Rowan Stone from Zencash. Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto. Myself, Charles Story. More to be announced as well. There's going to be different panel discussions. It's just more of a kind of a community vibing event. There's going to be lots of Q&A going on. It's going to be lots of different open panel discussions rather than keynotes. It's going to be a great evening. That kicks off at 6, ends at around 9 p.m. So it kicks off at 6 p.m., finishes at 9 p.m., 3 hours long. And that's going to be held at the Memorial Hall Church House in Westminster. So if you're in London, come down. I believe there's 250 tickets that were originally available. I believe pretty much most of them have been allocated out. But I know that if you reach out to me, I'll get you in, because I'm a hustler and I'll make sure you get in. No questions asked. So listen, if you're interested in hanging out with some of the London community tomorrow, feel free to come down and hit us up on the Telegram, SVK space crowd, or email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. Listen, it's enough of that. Let's get down to business and talk about what's been going on in the markets over the weekend. Bitcoin is currently trading at $7,737. That's up 3% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum currently trading at $463. That's down 1%. We have Bitcoin Cash currently trading at $817, up 1%. EOS currently trading at $8. That hasn't really changed in the last 24 hours percentage-wise. We also, Cardano currently trading at 17 cents. That's down 3% in the last 24 hours. NEO, $33. That's down 4% in the last 24 hours. I think NEO has really been struggling, unlike the other top 15, top 20 coins, tokens. They've managed to gain traction again when the market moved up. NEO really struggled to build up the volume figures there, which is interesting because they're doing a lot of different things. There's been lots of different stories coming out recently regarding the NEO blockchain. So it'll be interesting to see what the catalyst will be to really pick up the volumes, to really pick up the market cap of NEO and get it back to where it used to be, because it used to be a top 10 coin. I think it's currently at number 13. So it'll be interesting to see what the catalyst will be behind that, but I can know it's coming soon. But remember, guys, it's not financial trading advice. Just our in-house view and what we see going on in the market. I think most importantly, though, we have to think about the weekend. Other than being a great time to learn more about the space and learn more about different assets and double down on projects that you're looking to have a better understanding on. But also this weekend was great for the market cap of the crypto space. We really saw an increase. Friday's figures were $12, $13 billion volume turnaround. Over the weekend, we saw a high of $20 billion. So we in volume figures. So that was great to see. It's very positive for the space. That's very positive to see an increase in trading. The market cap's currently at $287 billion. So it's around $4 billion more than where we left off on Friday. This is all good stuff. This is all in the long term going to be building up to back to where we were. I don't think what a lot of different telegrams I'm on think is going to happen, where it's like 24 hours, it's going to go to $1 trillion. I don't really see that happening. It's the marathon. It's not a sprint. You have to be in it for the long run and double down on stuff that you believe in and technology you've really done the work on. Let's get on to the next part of the show. So internally here at SVK Crypto, there's been a lot of discussions and conversations regarding ICOs and regarding a lot of ICOs and what they're going to be doing for the future, because a lot of them have a big spending habit. And today a story broke that really, put our attention to the spending habits of ICOs. So let's jump into the story and let me give you a bit of clarity on the situation. An $8 million airdrop ran out of tokens. What's next is anyone's guess. Scarcity may be a crypto buzzword, but shortage is hardly made the footnotes until now. In early July, the developers behind U-Network, a blockchain publishing protocol valued at around $8 million, abruptly announced that it had run out of its reserve UU crypto tokens, that it planned to buy back some of the supply that is distributed to early investors through its airdrop in February. At the start of the project, U-Network established a $10 billion UUU cap on its total token supply worth approximately $15.6 million, setting aside 40% of its total tokens, about $6.2 million, for the founding team and future developments. Yet due to a rising number of strategic partnerships and interest in its token, the project announced on Medium the demand for the UUU token has exceeded our current designated holdings. The post continued, "The team now faces a problem, leaving our ecosystem tokens intact. How do we pursue new opportunities to grow the U-Network ecosystem? The result is a problem that seems to have little precedent. The structure of ICOs and airdrops varies widely across projects, particularly with regard to the number of tokens minted, distributed, and maintained by a given company or nonprofit. While some projects do not limit the number of tokens that can be created within their blockchain ecosystem, others, like U-Network, chose to implement a cap on the total supply. For U-Network, the $10 billion limit was implemented because the content-centered project, which aims to help content platforms that align with the interests of their users, wanted to provide sufficient incentives to community members. While U-Network's dilemma is currently an outlier in the industry, other blockchains that have implemented hard caps on their ICOs and airdrops may soon find themselves in similar quandaries as they begin building their ecosystems. Likewise, U-Network situation may face similar projects to confront, or even more difficult question, what happens when your startup runs out of its own tokens? So incentives are especially important in blockchain systems, and so far there's been no established methodology by which projects can determine how many projects or tokens to issue and keep. That's according to Joshua Grant, professor of strategic management at the University of Toronto, who basically told the press there's no metric. If you want to use tokens for incentive, the amount of incentive is dependent on the price of the token. And he went on to basically say at the start it's hard to predict that. So Gaines added that the establishing the amount of tokens project should keep as is equal as unsystematic. According to Catherine Tucker, professor of management and marketing at MIT, projects face a double difficult situation in a highly scrutinized industry. Not only do they lack methodologies for determining token supplies and holdings, they must also consider the perception of their actions. I think this case illustrates the huge trade-offs founders face. If you keep too many tokens in reserve, they're accused of being greedy. But if they give away too many tokens, then they lose a crucial lever they need to incentivize to use their platform and for the community to use that or their services in the future. So as such, remedying a shortage of tokens looks to be a pretty big task. Solutions such as increasing the total supply of the network could influence the token's price, angering investors and jeopardizing their trust in the project. So instead, U-Network plans to refurbish its holdings by conducting a token buyback. In practice, this means it will repurchase 1,000 ETH worth of UUU tokens, about 284 million tokens at press time. Which, by the way, since they raised like $15 million, it's quite a large percentage of the capital that they raised. Like, they had to basically buy back their own tokens so they can distribute about back out to the community. It's interesting. So one of the guys there is called Gaines. So from Gaines' perspective, the buyback is a good way to go, he went on. issue the tokens and retain some other currency to use buybacks. If you make an error, the other option is to give yourself the ability to issue more tokens for incentive purposes, but that is ultimately the same as retaining some tokens at the outset. And as the rest of the industry could do to avoid the U Networks dilemma, MIT's Tucker suggested, if I had to give advice to founders, it would be more of the lines, I think, about the uncertainty involved with the project. In those cases, the heightened uncertainty, it must be the best to limit the initial distribution of tokens until the business plan has evolved and been tested. Which, by the way, makes perfect sense. It really does. Because you don't want to be in a situation like these guys having to buy back their own token to incentivize the community, which they're using capital put aside for future developments to basically incentivize their community to engage with what they're doing at the minute. And you can't have the option of just being able to print tokens when you need more cash, because that's pretty much what quantitative easing is in the banking system. And that's something that we're really trying to get away from and have full transparency and trust of the projects. And I think if a project started doing that, they'd lose a lot of trust with their community and network. So it's a really interesting point that we have there. And I guess they have to be a bit more frugal with where they distribute their tokens to and how many tokens they give away. And also, just to add on to that, I think that ICO crowd sale price was, every token was worth a third of 1 cent. They're doing their buyback at half a cent per token. So there's a small little spread there, a small vig that the token holders would, I guess, to incentivize them to sell their tokens, right? But it's a bit of an interesting predicament they found themselves in. I guess the true and only way out of that is really to create token value. And token value for all the holders, all the shareholders, that's the only way to do it, because if your token hasn't really appreciated in value, everyone's going to find themselves in these situations. But where the projects that really do successful and are able to grow and execute is because they have done good work. They've delivered on what their white papers set out, and they've been able to appreciate the price of their token from delivering and from being able to make smart moves within the space and being able to execute quick. And I guess that's the moral of the story.
A few quick points that we've picked up on various different sources, Twitter being one of them. And one of them is that Bitcoin Core devs intentionally limited the block size as an attempt to force people onto the Lightning Network. Failures of the Lightning Network should also be directly blamed on the core developers that limited on-chain scaling to make Lightning necessary at all. And this is something that's been circulating not only on Reddit, but on Twitter. It's causing a lot of upstir, whether they intentionally did that or that was something that happened. An interesting point as well on Bitcoin's trading, the Bitcoin dominance increased from 42.7% to 45.6%, moving up due to Bitcoin's increased trading activity and 19% price appreciation over the course of a week. The best performers among the top 40 crypto assets were Bitcoin, Diamond, which was up 117%, Stellar, which is up 33%, and Cardano, in aggregate over the week, was up 21%. Positive regulatory news and Bitcoin ETF anticipation are massive drivers behind this as well. Well, listen, that's a wrap. Let's wrap things up for today. We've got a big day tomorrow. By the way, if you need tickets for the event that we spoke about prior in the podcast, feel free to hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd, or email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. And remember, as always, to tweet us at svk_crypto. We appreciate your time and attention. That's a wrap. Have a phenomenal evening.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.